Our message today is called Community. And I think it's a little bit of an outflow of the tent meetings and what God has placed on my heart to share with you, because I think it's important that to understand that as we gather, that's important to worship. But really what's important, because that gathering encourages us, right? But really what's important is that outside these walls, there's a group of people that do not know who Christ is. Guess what our job is? To let them know. That's exactly right. And so the message really is kind of about that as we're looking at it. It's about the community. And to share with you that that is a very, very important thing that we have to do. So let me just begin with a word of prayer. So Father, thank you so much for the gift of your word. And we're going to look at some Old Testament and we're going to look at some New Testament. And we have a job to do. And that really is to preach the gospel. So as the message is being delivered, Lord, I pray for the Holy Spirit to instruct us and to show us in our hearts where we need to be and what we need to do so that your will can be done here on this earth. For this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Just mark on. There we go. So we're going to begin with an Old Testament scripture, and I want you to think about this. I think it's really impressive, especially compared to today's time. And we're going to go to Numbers chapter 8, verse 9, and it says this. It says, bringing the Levites, and the Levites are the priests of the Israelite community, right? So bring all the priests to the front of the tent of the meeting. So the tent of the meetings is a place where the ark was placed. Now the ark of the covenant is a place where God made his home. So what it means is bring all the priests before God. That's what that's saying, right? And then it says, and assemble the whole Israelite community. Now, again, visualize this aspect. There is a tent. It's probably maybe it's the size of the room, maybe big. I don't remember how big it is and stuff. But a place where God is residing, dwelling with his people. The priests come forward, and every Israelite comes before that tent meeting. Everyone. We're talking about the men, the women, the children. Can you imagine having a tent meeting where everyone at St. Lawrence County comes to it? That's what that is. Everyone was commanded to come. Everyone came. That is an unbelievable thought in terms of the how God worked with the people, whether they're the priests or the actual people living in there. I think that's really unbelievable that's there. And they've become a community that's tight-knit, that's focused around the tent of meeting, around God and his commands. Moses, when he was leading those people around, right? It wasn't Moses leading the people. It was God using Moses to lead the people. Right? And that's important to remember that we're setting up on that. Now, when the people would come before God, God would show himself, sometimes as a cloud, pillar of fire, a pillar of smoke and stuff. And it was really neat in the sense that while they were in the desert for those 40 years, God would move the people from this location to that location, because if that pillar of smoke or fire decided to move, every Israelite had to pack up their belongings, pack up this tent of meeting and everything that was in part of that, and follow that pillar of smoke or pillar of fire without question. Sometimes they would stay a month. Sometimes they might stay a year. Sometimes it was only a couple days. Can you imagine? setting all those tents up for a day and then saying, oh, God say, oh, no, we're going to pack things back up again and we're going to move on. We just got done here. You know, you can imagine some of the grumbling that would go on, but it really doesn't come about in Scripture. It doesn't talk about that grumbling, about following God, that when he got the Israelites to move, they moved. When they came forward to the tent of meeting, like here, they all came forward. They were obedient that way. They were a community, a very tight-knit community. And God wanted to share everything with them. And I mean everything. Look at this next verse here that we've got. In Joshua 22, verse 20, it says, when Achan, the son of Zerah, acted unfaithfully regarding the devoted things, did not wrath come upon the whole community of Israel? He was not the only one who died for his sins. Oh, do you know what this is saying? That if one sinned in the Israelite community, others paid that price as well. Now, do you still want that tight community? That if one of your brothers acted inappropriately, that the whole community was held accountable for that. Now, what was the sin that he did? Well, it goes back to the beginning of the book of Joshua, where they actually entered the promised land, and this Achan guy, he took things when they took over Jericho. You know, they went around Jericho like 7 days and stuff like that, and eventually the walls fell. They went in there, they destroyed everything. Everything that they collected was to be dedicated to the Lord. Everything. No man was to get any plunder from any of that. Not from Jericho, from the other following ones, cities, they were going to get that. But there was this one man right here that took I think it was a Babylonian garb or garment. There was silver that he took and a few other items. He hid it in his tent, buried it there. And because he sinned, and when Joshua sent his army to take another small city that God told him to do, that army couldn't take it. God would strengthen this little city so that some of the soldiers that went to take it died. They paid the price. They couldn't figure out what was wrong. Joshua went before the Lord and said, what's the scoop? How are we supposed to have a name before all these people when we can take Jericho, but we can't take this little city? The rest of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and all those people, they're going to get bold and strong, and then we're not going to be able to do anything in terms of taking over the promised land. And God said, the nation has sinned. And yet it was just the one person. The nation was that tight that when one sinned, all paid the price for that. And I think that's hard for us to understand. But that nation needed to stay pure and separate from the rest of the other nations, because those other nations would influence the Israelites, causing them to follow false gods, worship things that God didn't want the Israelites to worship, because they were to worship just the gods. So in Ezra chapter 9, verses 10 through 11, it says, but now, O our God, what can we say after this? For we have disregarded the command you gave through your servants, the prophets, when you said, the land you are entering to possess is a land polluted by the corruption of its people. By their detestable practices, they have filled it with their impurity from one end to the other. And if you look at other scripture, the reason the Israelites went into this promised land area wasn't because they were righteous and God was blessing them for their righteousness. It was because of the sins of the people living there. They lived detestable lives compared to the eyes of God. And this was their punishment, is that the Israelites were to come in and remove them. Take their land and take everything that they had. And God was going to bless the Israelites for being obedient to God. But it's not because of their righteousness they went into the promised land. But you can see that. And then it says, therefore, do not give your daughters in marriage to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. Do not intermarry. Because the influence of a spouse that's non-Jewish will cause the Jewish individual to start to worship those false idols. And that will be the demise, the falling of the Israelite nation. Right? So they were to keep themselves separate from the rest of society. That's why the Jews, when they talk to people, they call Gentiles dogs. They call them heathens. You know, in our term, that's pretty derogatory. But to their eyes, they're unfaithful. They don't know God. They don't worship God. They worship all these false idols. They are heathens and dogs. And we need to be separate from them. And that's why even the Samaritans, who are half Jew, half Assyrian, or whatever the other half they are, they're not a pure line of Jews. And the Jews wanted nothing to do with them because they did not keep the purity. And that was God's way of removing some of them and all the things that they have done. So I want you to look at that separation between the Israelites and the nations around them. Right? They were to be kept separate. So we get this that happens in Matthew 28, 18, 20. It says, and then Jesus came. Now, I want you to think about this. Those words, not really referencing this, and maybe I'm taking a little out of context in a sense, but things changed when Jesus came. All right? So I want you to look what Jesus says to the disciples, right, after his resurrection, and he comes out and he says this very thing. He says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you know, stop right there, because that's where everybody stops. Let's go baptize people and make Christians, and then move on to the next town. Baptize some more people, make some more Christians. But I want you to look at Scripture, what it says. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Oh, that's part of the work of their ministry as well, isn't it? Not just to get them to know who Christ is, but to teach them to serve Christ the way they're to serve Christ. Not just to know that there's a God out there, and you know, okay, I've accepted that there's a God out there, good, I'm that ticket's done. Now I can go on and live my life however I want to. Doesn't work that way. And so Jesus is making that very clear, and he says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So as you go out preaching the gospel, teaching how to follow the gospel, then God is with you through all of this, because it's what he wants. So I want to give you some pictures here. So maybe something you can look at. Oh, I think I've got that. Where's my... Oh, okay. So I've got that coming up. All right. So let's look at this right here. So in Romans 10, 11 through 13, it says, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him, this is Jesus, will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be blessed. So, we look at this. In the Jews, during their time, they were the ones that were blessed. They were the chosen nation. All those other nations were not chosen, were not blessed. Now, what Jesus is saying here is that there's no difference between what the color of your skin is, what nation you come from, what age you are, what background you have, because he says anyone or all who come to Jesus, right, will be saved. So in the eyes of God, people are people. in the eyes of God, he died on the cross for everyone. Everyone. Not just the few that come to church. And I want that to be really, really important and instilled in you. And I've got this other scripture in Ephesians here, that in chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Now again, I want you to look at this. It says, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by the Jewish community, right? This is, they would be the ones that would call you uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is the Jews, that done in the body by the hand of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Right? So again, according to the way the history has gone out, that if you weren't Jewish, you're tough out of luck. You had no hope for God. You had no true God that you could worship. And there was nothing that could happen to you. Right? You were the uncircumcised. I don't know about you, but I'm the Jewish, or the Gentile person. All right. So, I don't know. Maybe I've got some Jewish background. I guess according to Ancestry.com, I've got a little bit. Hope has more than I got. But the idea is that, the point is that we are the Gentiles. We would have been excluded because we're not pure Jews from all of this. At one time we were. But look what it says here. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. What Christ did on the cross broke all those religious barriers that you have every right, without obstacle, to come and worship Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. To accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And all the benefits that come from that in terms of God being in your heart and working on you and just drawing you closer and changing your whole attitude on life. That your focus is no longer about yourself, but your focus is about Christ and the people of the world that He died for. So we have that ability to be able to do that. So here's those pictures that I want to show you about. We're looking at it. We have this little circle where it says church. Anybody, who's the church?
We are
the people. All right? It's not this building that's the church. But we as believers gather in a building. And we have worship service. We have Bible studies. We have youth group meetings. And we have other types of men's meetings, women's meetings, and things like that happen in this building. We always come to the building to do a lot of stuff. And you look at this, and outside that church are the people. There's people that aren't part of the church. And what do we want? We want those people to come to the church, don't we? But it's funny when you start looking at that picture. That picture is saying we want people to come to us. Because what we have is eternal. What we have is hopeful. And we want those people that don't have that to come to us to get it. But something's wrong with that picture. That's not what God has designed. And you're like, what? There's something wrong with that picture. And what's wrong with that picture are the arrows. Because this is what it should look like. Where the church is going out to the people to let them know that there is an eternity with God and there is hope. But we always expect people to come to us. That is not biblical. I'm going to repeat that. That is not biblical. We are to go out to the people. Yes, we can still worship here. I'm not saying we don't do that. But when we go out, there's a purpose for us going out and being able to do stuff. I want you to look at this in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. What they're talking about, John, this is an individual that witnessed Jesus Christ in his ministry. This is an individual that saw miraculous things happen. They heard what Jesus spoke to the crowds and even to the disciples. They even, oh my gosh, bumped up against Jesus once in a while, picked up something, and maybe touched his hand at the same time as they were picking up a log or something. It's like, can you do that? Can you touch Jesus Christ and still survive? Well, yeah, how many times did Jesus, you know, touch an individual and heal that person? Of course you can. But they were that close. And he's saying, I'm one of those people that witnessed firsthand who this Jesus is. And he says, the life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we what? Proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Oh, so what are they doing? They are going out to people and proclaiming the things that happened to them. You know what that is? Preaching. I'm serious. That's what that is. Guess what you're called to do? Preach. I was listening to a guy speaking about, he finds it an insult to be called a pastor, to be called a preacher. He says, that's not my job. That's everybody's job. What he is a teacher. So he instructs people on how to preach. And he says, that's his job, that's his calling in the church. And he was going on as, you know, it was kind of interesting too. He was saying, like, if there was a pastor that all he did was preach the good news of Jesus coming and, you know, and the blessings that God has for us, and every Sunday it was always the same, similar message, you know, just the preaching of Jesus, and, you know, that he is the Son of God, and that he died on a cross for your sins and stuff, but never did any teaching about the Word. He says what happens is the church can be on fire, but as soon as there's problems, they have no grounding in which to know what to do when there's problems that are out there. Yes, we've got God, God's in our heart, and we believe that. And then troubles come, and it's like, I think we've got God in our heart. You know what I'm saying? And so the idea is that there is preaching, but there's the aspect of teaching as well. And Jesus says that we are supposed to go out and make disciples, preach. And also do what? Teach. Amen. Did you hear that? We're ambassadors for Christ. Yeah, and we're out there to minister. But look what this John is saying over here. He says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So, to make your joy complete isn't just knowing God and the personal relationship that you have with God and how God has touched you. To make that joy complete, you need to share with others. Because that's what the Jews did. They held a God to themselves and they didn't want to share because God was so precious that they couldn't give God out to anybody. They kept it just to their pure line of race of Jewish people. And then Jesus came. And he says, no, I died on the cross for everyone. You need to let everyone know. You need to accept and take ownership of that. He says here in Romans, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may what? Declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is not about being a closet Christian. I've tried that. I've said that before. It's like, I wanted to be a Christian, and I don't want to tell anybody. I just want to see if they know. Guess what? People are dumb. And I'm not a very good example to make people smart. And so what happens is people get confused about who I am without me coming out directly and saying, guess what? I'm a Christian. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins too. That if you accept Him, you can have eternal life. Right? And it's awesome to be able to do all that sort of thing. But we are a priesthood. We, everyone, we belong to that. We all have different jobs in which we're doing. Sometimes we're working with the youth in a delicate manner of working with those young children, molding them. So that we know that, you know, a 7, 8, 10, 12-year-old, that when they become 17, 18, 20, that they have a basis, a foundation in which that when they're tempted by that college life or by that, you know, the other life that they might have, or money or whatever else that is out there, that they stay true to God. We need to do that sort of thing. We've got some friends out there. I was just talking with an individual about the tent meetings, and his wife came, the children, but he didn't come. And it was pretty neat. Because of the tent meetings, you can have conversations about things and stuff. And he was asking me, he says, you think we're coming to the end of time? You know, it's funny. They know stuff about Scripture, but they don't know much stuff about it. And we talked about that a little bit in terms of what that meant. And one of the things he was saying, well, his wife, who came to the tent meetings, almost lost her life 3 times. Some of it during childbirth, some of their sickness and stuff like that. And he recognizes that she's become very, he called, religious because of that. And I told him, I said, make sure that you don't squander her faith. Don't limit her. Even though you're not going to church, don't limit her, because it's important to her to be able to do that. And he said, oh no, I'm not doing that sort of thing. She's actually wanted me to come to church too. And I said, maybe that would be a good thing, because then you will know something about God. And that's what sometimes there's that instruction that comes in. You're not just going to hear something or read something on the news and then all of a sudden believe it, that that's the truth about God, not knowing what Scripture actually says, because there's a lot of false teachings out there. You need to know. And so it was all about, you know, okay, yeah, there's God out there, and he does believe that there's a God, but he doesn't believe that he really needs to live for God. So it was really neat conversation to be able to have that and to share that sort of thing. For me, I'm saved. I could care less about that individual. I'm saved. He's going to go to hell. Okay, that's on him. But in my heart, I want him to know that he has an option, a fork in the road, that you can choose Christ as I have and have eternal life with God, or you can go down this other path, whatever that path is, that leads to hell. So, I want to share that sort of thing. And I want you to be able to share too. In Romans 5, or 10, 14 and 15, it says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Notice how he didn't say how beautiful the voice of those that bring good news. If you're using the feet, where are you going? You're going out to the people. You're going outside these four walls and you're meeting up with individuals that might be at the dollar store, it might be at the Conoco, it might be at a local diner, it might be at your place of work, it might be at your home, whatever. It's someplace out there that you're using your feet to spread the gospel. Because it says here, how beautiful the feet of those who bring the good news. Okay, so how do you reach the community? On the back of your paper, you can write these down. That is not etched in stone. These are ones that just came to my heart to be able to share with you. The very first, I've got seven items there, right? The very first item that I've got, to be able to reach the people around you, is to pray. All right, first and foremost, get on your knees. And you don't even have to get on your knees. You can be sitting in a chair, laying in bed, on your couch. I don't really care. And I don't think God really cares, because He cares about where your heart is, where your mind is set, and what you're looking to do. You need to pray, because God will lead you. He'll give you the words to say. He'll give you the words and the things that you have to do. All right? But if you don't invite God into the delivery of the gospel, it's going to mean nothing. All right? It might be, you might bring some people, but it'll be temporary, because it's not what we're looking at in terms of the eternal aspect of it. Next one, you need to live for Jesus. That means that your walk has to be an example of what it means to serve Christ. This do as I say, but not as I... do as I say, but not as I do? That doesn't float. Christ Himself, only when He was on this earth, lived a sinful life. He only did what His Father told Him to do. He only said what His Father told Him to say. How did He know what His Father told Him, was telling Him to say? He spent time in prayer. We need to do exactly the same thing. How about this next one over here? How about serve and love others? That's what you need to do. Our job as Christians is not to judge this world. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job as Christians is not to convict people. That's the Holly Spirit that does that stuff. Our job is to love one another and serve. When Christ was there in the upper room and He washed the feet of His disciples, He said, let that be an example to you, that if you were to be My ministers out in the world, you need to serve others. That means get your hands dirty. All right, so we've looked at the first three. How much talking has there been to an individual? Zero. People will see your actions more than they'll hear your words. What's that?
They'll see His presence.
That's right.
In you.
Yeah.
One says, "When have you created the kingdom of God, we have served the Lord."
Amen. Yeah. Debbie.
I always preach to my children.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter, she says, "Mom, stop preaching to us, teach us."
Yeah, yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah, there's wisdom out there. Yeah, we can learn a lot from everybody. Let's look at number four. Share your faith and the gospel. We heard multiple testimonies from people, and I will tell you, they were unbelievably powerful. And some of these people just had a high school diploma, and some of them didn't even have that.
I heard they were on Facebook, a lot of people received the message that they were good.
Yeah. It was incredible, the message that they had. Share your faith with them. Right? You don't have to become a scholar and try to explain scripture to them. Just share your faith with them. Share the simple gospel. If you don't know what the gospel is, because you've got, you know, 1,000 pages in that Bible over there that you've got to read to try to figure out what that gospel is, we can sum it up real simple. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. That whoever accepts Him as Lord and Savior shall not die but have eternal life. That's the simple message. And you're going to say, well, that's just too simple. No, that's powerful. That's unbelievably powerful. There you go. There's the, and it's like, that's what we need to share. The rest of this stuff will come. The Holy Spirit will work on everybody that's there and everything. All right? And then ask questions. What do you believe? Why do you believe that?
I was at one of those things where we're feeding the people in Watertown. We give the dinners and all that. Mm-hmm. And most of them came to me. They're trying to convert me. And I started sharing the gospel. And they stopped me. Is that the way it is? He's believing what he was taught. And I bought some of the words from the gospel. And I changed his mind.
Yeah, because
and I don't know what happened after that.
Right, yeah, yeah. But it's really important. So you need to know where they're coming from and what they believe. And then it's like, well, I believe that there's a God out there, but yeah, he's just, you know, he's a God of, you know, hammers and stuff. And I do something wrong, boom, he's gonna pump me right down. Or he's a God that's just out there. And it's like, well, when you get a question, like the Ethiopian who asked Philip, you know, who is this that I'm reading about? Is it about God himself, or is it about, you know, the author, or is it about someone else? That's where Philip comes in and defines things. All right? And it's very simple that we can have that message that's there. But it's one of the things that you need to do is ask questions to find out where they are. It's not about you talking all the time. Let them bring stuff up. And then there's that teaching part that Deb was talking about. And then invite them to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, that's embarrassing. I'm not going to do that. Okay, they're going to go to hell because you didn't ask. They weren't given that invitation. Right? This doesn't have to be all done in 5 minutes, okay? This could be over a period of time. Develop a relationship with someone. That's what that first part is. Let them see who you are. All right? And then when you're looking at, you're serving them over a period of time. They're getting comfortable with you. And then they're going to see that there's something different about you. And that's where you start to share your faith. And then you can ask questions because you're not afraid of what they're going to ask. And they're not afraid of what the answers are because you've got that relationship with them. It's important to develop that sort of thing. And then when you get to a point and they understand who you are and why you are the way you are and that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you could say to them, do you want to accept Jesus as Savior? And it's not threatening. Right? It's not like, maybe you heard this before, I haven't told this one in a while, but I remember being at the State Fair in New York. I've gone into the bathroom, I'm peeing in a urinal, and a guy comes up to me with a Christian tract and starts telling me about Jesus. Now, I can't really go away from him, but I'm really telling you, that turned me off 100% about who, you know, evangelizing with Christ, about Christ. That was like really wrong. And before I was done peeing, he was out the door. That's how quick that was. Don't do that. All right? Please do not do that. That is not the way to do it. It didn't.
When we had the tent meeting, I didn't have a chance to visit a couple people, but I knew them. So I texted them and I put some scripture, not condemning them, but just giving some scripture of salvation. And I invited them to the tent meeting. And I left it in God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
They probably read it. And it had to be the Holy Spirit that can convict them to come. They didn't come, but maybe next time when we have a tent meeting, they might be there. Who knows?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But we've laid that seed, right? We don't make things grow. God makes things grow, but we can plant the seeds that are all established in there. The last one that I've got for this, just realize it's not about you. It's not about putting a little check on your arm, a little tattoo on there. I brought another one to Christ. I professed to another person over there, and you know, and I told them everything that there was to be about it and stuff. It is not about you. It's about them receiving God and His Spirit. That's the goal of reaching out to the community. I'm not worried about the number of people that we have at this church, because I know the hearts of everyone here is really tight with the Lord. And as we go out and we start to do the ministries where we're sharing with, you know, the youth, and we're delivering meals out to people, and we're doing little projects for people in various ways. You see, that's reaching out to the community. When we give to the food bank, we're talking about giving to the ice skating rink and stuff like that.
I want to mention Bentley. He's the one who encouraged everyone and had a project on his own raising money for Bibles.
For Bibles, yeah. Amen to that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, those are, it's unbelievable that we have over there. Now, I've got, I think, one last scripture verse here in Revelations. And this is important, because I'm going to let you know that God doesn't need you to do His ministry. But He invites you to participate in His ministry. And He's glorified when we do. But He doesn't need you. He asks you to do it because He loves you and He wants more to be able to be part of that. Because the reason I say that is because I want you to look at the scripture here. This is Revelation. You know, again, this is we look at the future sometimes as an aspect of this, or even today. But in Revelation 14, 6 through 7 says this: "Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, 'Fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water.'" You see, God will send His own messengers to proclaim to the world, every nation, every individual, whether we do it or not. But imagine us proclaiming it to people before God sends that angel, so that when the angel comes, the people could say, "Praise God, I already know that. I'm already living my life for God. And I can recognize who God is." Isn't that special? That when God's time comes, when Jesus returns, not just you, but the community around you is ready to recognize who He is. And you've lived for Him up to that time. And He has called you His brother or sister, Jesus has. And God the Father has called you His children, son or daughter. That's what God wants us to do. It's all right to be called a Jesus freak. Because one of the testimonies that really moved me, I think it was from Mary, She didn't want anywhere. There's this woman, right? That she had. She always talked about Jesus. Always did. And she had a problem with her husband. She wanted to come live with her, with her kids and stuff like that. And she had one request. If you're going to stay with me, you can't mention God. So that woman said, okay. But Mary saw this woman coming with her. Every morning she would sit out on the steps. I'm using her, so I'm just kind of throwing this stuff out. Be reading her Bible. Didn't say a word. Mary was saved that day. Because of the witness that this woman gave. I mean, it was just unbelievably powerful. If we don't do it, God will send His angel to proclaim it. But God wants us to do that very thing. You see, that's the church. That's who we are. We need to reach out in various ways. Because blessed are the feet that proclaim the gospel. Amen?
Amen?
Lord, I just thank you for this word. Thank you for this day that we have. It's been an awesome week. And it's awesome to be able to come here. Hold us close. Help us to remove ourselves and to live for you and to proclaim your message to those around us. Not so much with words, but with our acts of service and compassion and love. This we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen.